The Senate will be in order. Will everyone in the Senate and the galleries please rise for the prayer by the Reverend Gock and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
From the 15th Psalm we hear, O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? Those who walk blameless and do what is right and speak the truth from their heart. O God, we begin a new week, and there is much that seeks our attention. And so we ask, grant us righteousness and truth in our hearts and minds. Clothe us so our hearts seek to live lives that bear witness to your grace and mercy. And grant us to always be about that which is helpful and right for those we serve. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Sirpoy, Crawford, Cunningham, Curls, Dixon, Igel, Emery, Hageman, Holzman, Hoskins, Hummel, Kehoe, Koenig, Leibler, Munslinger, Nasheed, Onder, Richard, Riddle, Rizzo, Romine, Rowden, Sater, Schauf, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson, Whelan,
a quorum being present, the Senate is in session. Madam Secretary, please read the journal.
Journal of the Senate, second regular session, second day, Thursday, January 4, 2018. The Senate met.
Senator McCall, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as though having been fully read.
Senator from Cole has moved the further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as fully read. Does any senator desire to be heard? Hearing none, Senator from Cole, you recognize close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
Those of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye. Those of the contrary, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Introduction of guest. Senator from Cape Girardeau.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to introduce a special guest. On my right and your left, I have my intern from Southeast Missouri State University, Erica Townsend, and she's a junior at the university studying political science and hopes to be an attorney one day. Lives in Lilburn, Missouri, Southeast Missouri, very close to New Madrid. Please welcome Erica Townsend.
Let's please welcome the guest from the Senator from Cape Girardeau. Introduction of guests. Senator from Green, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I'd like to introduce Mirhad Hasanovic, who is on your right and my left. He just stood up there. He's going to be interning in my office this session. He recently graduated from the University of Missouri and had interned in Representative McGaugh's office over in the House last session with Stephen Nittler, who is also in joining my office as my new chief of staff. Now, he came up here last week. I was going to introduce him last week, but we wound up with a filibuster on the first day, so I had him go back to the office. But I would ask that Mirhad be made welcome here in the Missouri Senate, and if there's anything that my office can do, either contact him or my new chief of staff, Stephen Nittler. Thank you, Mr.
Let's
President.
Please welcome the guest from the Senator from Green to the Senate chamber. Senator from Franklin, what purpose do you rise?
Introduction of a very special guest.
You may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Today, up here in the rear gallery, my wife is with me today, my wife, Shara. We will be, if by February 20th, If she tolerates me for that long, we'll have been together 30 years we've been married, so just would like the body to make her feel welcome here today.
Let's please welcome the wife of the senator from Franklin and congratulate them on 30 years. Introduction of guest. Hearing none. Petitions, memorials, remonstrances. Resolutions. Concurrent resolutions. Senator from Cole, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I would move that House Concurrent Resolution 50 be taken up for adoption. This convenes the Joint Senate for the State of the State Address.
You've heard the motion made by the senator from Coe. Those of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator, do you care to move for the adoption? Explain the resolution.
I move the resolution be adopted, and again, this would convene a joint session for the State of the State Address.
The Senator from Cole moves that House Concurrent Resolution number 50 be adopted. Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from Butler, what purpose do you rise?
Inquire the Senator from Buchanan.
Senator from Buchanan, do you yield to an inquiry from the Senator Butler?
I do.
You may proceed, Senator.
Thank you, Senator. I just wanted to visit with you a little bit about some more of the developments of the State Board of Education debacle. And I've been reading where supposedly this delay is going to really help some of the members that's been selected or appointed to the board with the Senate. And as you know, there were 10 appointed, and then I think five ended up being brought forward over here. Various reasons, the other five quit, got withdrawn, whatever. I just thought maybe I'd get maybe your opinion on the months that we're going to be dealing with that.
So. You know, I was reading the article in the Springfield News Leader, and it's titled Greiton Sidelined Missouri School Board Appointees to Meet with Senators. And there's this one lady named Jennifer Edwards, and they quoted her. She says, "I do feel that the Senate was asking for more time," she said. "I honestly believe the governor felt this would slow the tempo down." Well, I'm not aware of any senator that wanted more than 30 days to do this job. I think she's mistaken. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think so also. I think we should have just went ahead and moved on. I mean, wasn't all that much consent and advice going on that I could tell from that governor's office with me. You know, she went on to say that the governor... She knew what the governor's aspirations were for education and where he thought it should lead. I don't know about you, but I haven't had any visits from the governor to talk education. I've been on the education committee for, this will be my sixth year of being in education, and I haven't heard or had any response back or, anything asking me or maybe putting forth what they thought education should look like. This year and forward. So, I've got some ideas on education too. And as a matter of fact, this past Friday, I sponsored an education forum in Poplar Bluff, and we had over 40 schools that showed up, invited the superintendents of Southeast Missouri, and over 40 schools showed up, and we had a really good visit for a couple hours, and talked about a lot of stuff, but one of the things that's really been that I've been concerned about is the lack of computer science being offered in our high schools. After all, computers are pretty important. And looking into it further, I find that we're one of only 10 states in the United States not having computer science being an accredited class for graduation. Can you imagine that? I haven't heard anybody really talking about that. I do think there's a bill moving or got filed over in the House by Representative Fitzwater that's going to be talking about that, and I'm glad he filed it. But, you know, high schoolers not learning computer science, not being taught computer science, is just unbelievable to me. This day and time, no matter what kind of career you're going to have, you're going to have to understand and learn how to use technology. And it's one of the highest paid careers there is. And I was recently in Nashville, Tennessee, and seeing a presentation made about the amount of jobs is going to disappear if you don't have really good computer skills, and not just to understand how to turn a computer on or play a video game, but to understand coding and computer programming and so on. And the hundreds of thousands of jobs is going right now unfilled because we don't have computer science.
Basically, what I'm hearing you say is that you believe that there needs to be some changes in our schools also. But you haven't heard from the governor, nor had you had an opportunity to discuss it with the governor.
I have not. You know, we had that education forum, and it was a great forum. And it's just amazing to me that how far we are behind here in Missouri. And it's amazing that we haven't already moved forward on this. You know, computers have been out a long time, and you can look up all the background information you want. But like in Arizona, here in Missouri, we have, I forget all the numbers, but it's thousands of jobs going unfilled right now because of lack of computer skills.
So
high-paying jobs.
So you'd like to see some changes, but I don't know how you feel about the way it came down with the state school board. The senator from St. Francois and I feel that it was extremely inappropriate the way that that went down, where five people were appointed. They all go into the meeting, and without really any length of discussion, fire the commissioner of education, who, by the way, her job was to execute the wishes of the state board.
Right.
And nobody ever said she didn't do that. I mean, if the state board changed its policy in some way, and she didn't do her job, well, that would be one thing. But apparently, she did everything she was asked and was lauded on both sides of the aisle for having done that.
Yeah, well, obviously, there was a litmus test making it all the way to confirmation also.
Well, given that he removed
50% of the 50% of the appointees were either withdrawn or withdrawn themselves, or they got disqualified by the governor's office about maybe a potential way they may vote to get rid of the State Board of Education commissioner. I mean, that's why they reported to be that. So we ended up with five. I would just say, with my business experience, I found it to be totally unprofessional on how it was handled.
So what I'm hearing you say is that those five doing what they did was unprofessional. And from my point of view, and I heard the senator from St. Francois said, what they did disqualifies them from being on the state board. That's my opinion. I don't know if that's yours. But.
Well, my opinion is that the State Board of Education is it should be independent thinkers and moving forward what's best for the students. Now, in my time that I've spent in education, it seems to me like the students are talked about a lot being at the top, but a lot of times it's just talk. For instance, I go back again to computer science. In my forum that we had down at Poplar Bluff Friday, by a show of hands, I wanted to know how many schools were offering computer science at their school, and there was like three or four hands. So that means to me, if that's a good average, over 90% of our schools in Missouri is not offering computer science at all. They may be offering some keyboarding or something like that, but boy, the pay rate for students coming out and the need by the employers And we talk about attracting all these big companies to Missouri all the time. You know, well, they've got to have a really, really good workforce to look forward to hiring also and have a good pool. You know, we've talked a lot about, who was it, Amazon, wanting to hire so many thousands of people. Well, there may be some information that I'm not available about, but wouldn't it be nice, though, if we would have started this several years ago? Not just 2 years ago or 3 years ago, but we're one of the 10, the best I can find out, in the United States out of the 50 that doesn't offer it. And all that information is easy to find. All you got to do is go to code.org and take a look. And also, it's one of the most, I shouldn't use that term, cheapest way to train, but you can actually train your teachers very at a very reasonable cost, from what I've learned on this. You can take an English teacher, art teacher, and depending on whether or not it's elementary computer science you're talking about, which should start beginning, by the way, in the third or fourth grade, which may take 1 or 2 days of specialized training. It's not requiring hundreds of millions of dollars or anything of an investment by a school. So, you know, we got lots of things to be concerned about and worried about other than firing our current State Board of Education commissioner that got fired recently, who, by the way, in my opinion, I really never had a whole lot of interaction with the director. But the times that I was in her company, like at schools, it seemed to be doing really well, and she was very well accepted by superintendents and by some schools like down in my district, like Richland, which is one of the blue ribbon schools, one of the top schools in the U.S., small school down in my district, public school. I ran into her down there presenting them. But, you know, it was a firing without cause, in my opinion. It may have been a firing that maybe they felt like she didn't have the same thought pattern for what education should look like in the 21st century. But she really hadn't had a chance. So that's why I've determined in my own mind that I thought it was really unprofessional in how it was handled, and I didn't understand the speed and the need.
So do you intend then to join myself and the senator from St. Francois and oppose these nominations?
Well, thing also, I may not have made myself clear, but she only has been on board since 2015, and a lot of the statistics that there has been made by the executive office and others that maybe, you know, she wasn't bringing education up to the speed that it needed to be. Well, in the business world, it takes a little bit to turn that aircraft carrier around a little bit. So anyway, I thought that was somewhat unfair, and what it does, it causes upsetting the apple cart, so to speak, with our superintendents and our principals and our educators around the state, when it should have been probably more thought out.
Yeah.
Not so quite mean-spirited. I mean, it looked to me like it ended up being mean-spirited. So
my feeling is that you can't be having these people who are nothing more than puppets of the governor serving.
Right.
If this is what they're going to do, if this is how they're going to operate, if we were to send their nominations back, there would be nothing stopping the governor from appointing them on May the 16th, avoiding confirmation all the way until next year, unless he calls a special, and then replacing them if they vote wrongly. Because we've already seen that he's willing to do that. If somebody doesn't vote the way he wants,
yeah,
he pulls them out, fires them, puts in somebody else that will. And we really can't have our State Board of Education run that way.
Well, are you aware of the aspirations of the governor and what he thinks education should look like in Missouri in the ensuing year?
He hasn't come to me and given me his spiel, no. And I haven't seen it reported anywhere. I've seen the press beg to have press conferences and meetings with the governor and be denied repeatedly. I have seen the press lament in print that the governor will not have meetings with the press to tell them such things. So I do know that.
Well, you know, another thing came out. The governor or his office was talking about how our administrators are way overpaid. Well, you know what? I mean, that's up to local control. School boards decide how much they might want to pay their superintendent. But I will tell you this, from the business world, in Poplar Bluff, we have, I think it's over a $50 million budget at our school. And I think our superintendent makes somewhere between $120,000 and $140,000 a year. That's one of the biggest businesses we have in Poplar Bluff, over a $50 million budget. Do you think that is an overpayment of having, I forget how many thousand kids we got in school. It's a thousands of kids, several schools, class five high school, can't tell you how many elementary schools we got. It's a huge liability and responsibility for an administrator to have. So $120,000 pay to an administrator, you know, there could be some administrators out here somewhere that could be thought of as being overpaid, but I don't think that's my responsibility to be telling the school board as a legislator as a governor how much or what could constitute overpayment to a school superintendent.
Yeah, I mean, think that
doesn't even make sense.
I think that local control is good, but when the state of Missouri is footing the bill and I see superintendents making $400,000, say, then now you're getting into an area where that kind of bothers me.
Yeah, but are you going to paint all the administrators across the state with the same brush?
No, not at all.
I just gave you an example, though, Senator.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Huh?
And there should be local control, and when it's a reasonable amount like that.
Yeah.
But when it gets up to the nosebleed levels and we're paying for it through the state dollars, then maybe we need to...
Well, again, but you can't just brush everybody and everything with that same brush.
Right.
So if that's the case, then a lot of administrators could quite possibly be way underpaid.
That's true, too.
So, I don't know. I was just very unhappy with the process, and I noticed caused a lot of angst in my district with educators that's having a hard enough time, you know, school safety, making sure the kids get there, making sure they get the quality education they need. Basically, what I'm interested in and have been involved in over 6 years now is making sure kids know how to read my district. So we got a lot of issues out there, but just to pull that deal off, I mean, it was very unprofessional how it was handled. You know, the governor may had in his mind good reasons why he wanted to do it, but it wasn't communicated properly.
Agreed.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on House Concurrent Resolution Number 50? Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from Buchanan, you seeking recognition?
Yes.
To inquire of the senator from Green.
Senator from Green, do you yield to an inquiry from the senator from Buchanan?
I do.
Senator, you may proceed.
Thank you, Senator. Since we are talking about appointments...
Sorry about that. I was having trouble getting my microphone out of its holder there.
That's okay. We are talking about appointments, and I did distribute some data that came to me. And
I saw that.
And I'd like to discuss this data with you, and I've distributed it to every member of the body. You know, just to start off with, a plain democracy is doomed to fail. Isn't that, wouldn't you agree with that? Just a straight democracy is kind of doomed to fail because we know that the majority can exercise tyranny over the minority. You know, like when all the foxes vote to go ahead and eat the sheep are outvoted. You know, that's not a good thing. And so we have our republic has built in lots of checks and balances, and they're enshrined in our Constitution. And each one of us, when we take office, we agree to uphold the Constitution. And that's what makes our country so great.
I would agree with that. And, you mentioned a complete democracy. I know that historically there have been problems, and usually that's been what the downfall has been.
Yeah. Well, I'll start off by just pointing out I distributed Article 4, Section 4, and it's just real simple. It says the governor shall fill all vacancies in public offices unless otherwise provided by law. Well, what this is saying is that if there's a permanent position and the governor shall fill that permanent position, it's just a commandment to the governor to make appointments. Because if you don't make appointments, you thwart the other part of the Constitution, which is Section 41, which gives the Senate, us, the right to give our advice and consent. Well,
I did see what you had distributed, and I didn't have a chance to talk with you after I picked this up on my desk here to... I think I know where you might be going with this.
Yeah.
And I think that there was a mistake made.
Oh, there was. There was a mistake made, all right.
Okay.
And let's talk about that mistake. First of all, I'd like you to turn to the second page.
I see it. I'm actually familiar with this issue.
Right. I know you are. And the governor put out a press release in March, and it said that he is naming Anna, I guess it's Hugh, and it says that she is to become the new director of the Missouri Department of Labor. He put that out in a press release March the 30th.
Right.
Director. He put that out. But you can see on the next page, when he sent us the advice and consent request yesterday, day before, Wednesday last week, and he said that I have the honor to transmit to you herewith for your advice and consent the following appointment made and commissioned by me on April the 17th, 2017, while the Senate was not in session. Well, it's not true that on April the 17th we were not in session, is it? It's not
true. We were in session. We weren't in session that day, but I think it's probably... I think that may have been the oversight, or I think... I was familiar with this because I read through the journal and
Friday.
I think she was actually appointed as acting director.
Right.
Okay.
She was appointed as acting director, and you can see from the next page that he sent a letter to the Secretary of State saying, I'm appointing her acting director. And then you can see on the next page where she signed a form saying that she was taking the position of acting director.
But what
he
was
sent to us, I mean, that's
true. What was sent to us was incorrect, and
it was not correct.
Had it been correct, we would have a problem.
Right, but now here's the problem. Look at the previous page. On March the 30th, his office told the people of Missouri that he was appointing her as the director. Okay? He misrepresented, or his office misrepresented, what he was doing. Now, I have to ask a question. Given that Section 4 says that the governor shall fill all vacancies, why would the governor, on April the 17th, instead of appointing this woman who he already knew he was going to appoint to be the director, why would he say he's appointing the director, but then only appointing her as acting director? Why would he do that?
Well, one can only surmise that there was a little bit of tension last year, and appointments might not have been moving very steadily through the body. So that put the confirmation process off.
actually, I guess it wouldn't put the confirmation process off because an acting director does not have to be confirmed.
Right.
I mean, you may recall that under previous administrations, that was kind of a frustration of this body. I voiced it on a few occasions because previous governors would just appoint almost the entire cabinet as an acting director, and then they'd sit there for a year. In one case, I think it was quite a bit longer. And finally, toward the end of the term, they were actually appointed as a director. Now, I don't know all the implications of that, but that has been a problem.
Well, wouldn't you say?
I say it's been a problem from the standpoint of the Senate, because we have to do our constitutional duty to give advice and to give consent. But there's case law that very clearly says that an acting director does not have to be confirmed, essentially. So it's kind of an end around, but I guess that would be a little bit different, because now technically she's being appointed as director, I assume. I haven't talked to anybody in the governor's office. And so now, rather than having the 30-day window, there's 4.5 months for that confirmation process to take place.
Right, except that by naming this person that he fully intended to be the director as acting director, and then, I mean, I hate to use the word, but not telling the truth to the people in his press conference, saying that we're going to be appointing her director, by having the paperwork say acting director, he avoided us. And he avoided what the Constitution says he's supposed to do. He says the governor shall fill all vacancies. Well, he didn't. He left it vacant in the position of director, and he misled us by appointing her acting director. And then they kind of accidentally forgot, I guess, and sent us the request for our advice and consent. And not only did they say, you know, to be director, but they put while we weren't in session, when we were really in session, because every one of us knows we go into session in January and we finish session in May. We're in session every minute of the time between there.
That is true.
Right. For them to say while the Senate was not in session, that's just not factually true. And you know, I have to tell you, I'm reminded of this article that was in the Kansas City Star, and it was back in May. And the governor said, quote, "Frankly, sometimes it looked like third grade." Basically calling us third graders. And you know something? I don't appreciate being called a third grader. And I also don't like what he said in the paragraph above.
You know what's
career kind of politicians.
I kind of find humorous about that. And I'm not going to spend this session poking the governor. I've given them some things to think about privately. I've stated my public criticism. I'm done. You know, I've tried to help them prevent them, you know, from committing political suicide, but it isn't working.
Well, this is the day we've been talking about.
I was just going to say, if we'd have gotten off to a better start last year, we could have all been singing Kumbaya. No, I mean, seriously. And they made some comments that some of the stuff we did was whatever. It's a new year. I hope we have a better session. I will say, you know, I have a friend who repeatedly reminds me never to attribute to malice what could very reasonably be attributed to somebody just not knowing what they're doing.
Yeah, that's maybe true. Didn't know what they were doing is probably the truth here.
I don't know that there was anything malicious or intentionally harmful, but we are, I mean, since you brought that up, we are in session the entire time. I don't want to start seeing, you know...
Well, I think it's important.
I don't think this governor would do it, but a future executive might decide that they're going to send appointments over here on Friday and try to get away with the fact that we're not here and say we weren't in session. Uh-uh.
Well, Senator, I appreciate your not wanting to be critical and, you know, and so on. But when we're dealing with current appointments, these are appointments for today. These are today's appointments. And that this isn't the only one. There's three others that he sort of did the same thing on. He appointed them to be the directors of his departments, and rather than deal with us in the confirmation process that's required by the Constitution, he didn't. He named them acting directors. And so we've got four acting directors now, three of his in his cabinet, who are acting directors, but everybody thinks they're directors. And so, you know, he sends us the letters and saying that they're directors. So what we have here is we're about to receive some messages from the governor today correcting the mistake. We'll be getting those messages.
You know, this fall I took a trip to the Sahara, and I was amazed. We actually, it was my wife and I celebrated our 25th anniversary, so I took her to Morocco and did a little, actually one of the nights was a camp in the Sahara. And I was amazed at how many wells were out there, and I said, how far down do you have to dig in order to get to water? And he said, oh, it's not far at all. There's water within 50 feet in most places. And you could see they'd dig a well, and it's all community well. It's kind of hard when you're thirsty to wish that you hadn't poisoned the well. And fortunately, last year is behind us. I think it would have been difficult to get very much done as far as confirmation goes, the last half of session. And I hope the governor realizes that we can get a whole lot more done if we work together rather than just locking horns all the time.
I would recommend that he not say things like, we're career politicians and third graders, when he himself has a staff that's making these kinds of mistakes and not following the Constitution.
Well, let's just... You know, what's the old saying? We just don't want to throw rocks when we live in glass houses. And, you know, this is a new year. I think most of us want to see progress. I don't think unnecessary criticism is effective. I'm not going to sit by and say nothing when I see something wrong. I'm going to stand up for what I believe is right, and I'm going to defend the institution. But I do think that... I do think it behooves us to, you know, follow the process, be respectful of one another, and, you know, be on our game, so to speak. Make sure that we're watching things.
How do you feel about the way the state school board issue was handled? Just curious.
Well, let's separate the policy discussion from the process discussion.
Sure.
I think no matter what the issue is, when you follow the process, you're on a lot safer and more solid ground. When you start trying to get around the process or violate the process, you're in quicksand. Now, here I think is a problem, whether it's dealing with money or it's dealing with, I'll say money, finances, okay? Whether it's dealing with anything in life, but especially when it comes to dealing with legal matters. If the question is what can we get away with as opposed to what should we do, you're already toast. You know, we actually have a king. We actually have a king. And it's not any of us. It's not the governor. We have a saying that goes back in the Latin, lex rex, or lex rex, I forget which way it's supposed to be said.
The law
is king. The Center for the First will probably help me out when I get done.
But I say King Rex. And it's not the guy in St. Louis, just so everybody knows I'm not talking about him. The law is king, and we are all its subjects.
Well, all I can say to you back is that when you see the law not being followed, it is okay and acceptable and right that you should point it out.
It's our duty.
And especially when it has to do with this body, and we're talking about it here.
It's our duty as its loyal subjects.
Yeah, true.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Senator from Buchanan.
Inquire of the Senator from St. Francois.
Senator from St. Francis, do you yield to an inquiry of the Senator from Buchanan?
Yes, I do.
You may proceed.
So, Senator, did you have an opportunity to look at the documents that I distributed?
I just perused them. I had some other documents I was looking at, but I got the gist of what you were concerned about there.
Well, I guess that the way that appointments are being handled is fast and loose. You know, if you don't like the way somebody votes, you just remove them off of there before they can be confirmed. And rather than have to deal with this body and our scrutiny of the candidates, let's just name them an acting director and then avoid having the Senate go through the confirmation process until you decide to name them director.
I think we've seen that there is a hole in the process of the appointment process. Senate Bill 794 that I introduced is an attempt to start the process, start the conversation, to make sure that the credibility of the appointment process stays intact, that the Senate stays involved in the process. If there's additional language that needs to be added to that bill, I think we need to have that conversation. We need to point out these inefficiencies, these attempts to end around the body to get some of these issues accomplished as they were, and in such a way that just really taints the credibility of what our institution's about.
Well, I'd like to see you make sure that the bill that you're working on covers this situation so that we can actually have governors follow Article 4, Section 4, which says that they shall fill these vacancies. Because theoretically, the governor could have acting directors during his whole entire tenure as governor and never put them forth for our advice and consent.
Well, I think we have a serious problem, a serious issue. We've had several conversations over the last few months addressing the issue, talking about it. We've talked a lot about it. I think now is time to take action. You pointed out some additional concerns here tonight that I think needs to be addressed. We need to go forward with a path, with a fundamental structure of our legislation to fix these issues. And I want to work with you. I want to work with my other colleagues that realize that we have a problem. We need to fix it. We're addressing the issue. Let's go forward with that.
I look forward to working with you on that, Senator. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Seeing none, Senator from Cole, we recognize close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
The Senator from Cole moves that House Concurrent Resolution Number 50 be adopted. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Brown, Chappelle-Nadal, Searpoy, Crawford, Cunningham, Curls, Dixon, Igel, Emery, Hageman, Holzman, Hoskins, Hummel, Kehoe, Koenig, Leibler, Munslinger, Nasheed, Onder, Richard, Riddle, Rizzo, Romine, Rowden, Sater, Schoff, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton.
Aye.
Wallingford.
Aye.
Walsh.
Aye.
Wasson.
Aye.
Whelan.
Aye.
Senator from the Ninth.
Aye.
Senator from the Ninth votes aye. Senator from Green.
Aye.
Senator from Green votes aye. Senator from Butler.
Aye.
Senator from Butler votes aye. Senator from the 13th. Senator from the 13th votes aye. Senator from the 1st. Please call the absentees.
Senators Chappelle Nadal, Holzman,
by a vote of 31 aye and zero no, the resolution is declared passed. Senator from Cole. Senator from the 1st, excuse me. Senator from the 1st.
Mr. President, may I inquire the senator from the 23rd?
Senator from the 23rd. Yield to an inquiry of the senator from the 1st.
I do, Mr. President.
You may proceed.
You know, Senator, I noticed when we called the absentees that we had a couple. Did you notice that, too?
We did have a couple missing. I noticed that, Senator.
One of them being the senator from the 7th, who you and I both know. So, I'm not sure. I mean, it's 5 after 5 on a Monday evening, and I just wonder where the senator from the 7th might be. Have you looked down the hall? There's an office on this floor where you could find him from time to time. Did you happen to notice if he was there, maybe?
I didn't, but that might be a good place to look.
My experience has been that it's a great place to look. You know, it also occurred to me, and I don't know. I mean, this might be going too far. But, I suppose we could ask the Highway Patrol to, I don't know, check the PSC building, maybe, and see if you could find him there.
I think it's possible. It's possible.
I'm not going to ask him to do that. I mean, as important as his vote would have been on that last resolution, I just don't know that it's worth the expenditure of taxpayer resources to get him here for that.
Well, perhaps by bringing this to the body's attention, we can avoid further incidents of his absence.
Well, one never knows, Senator. One never knows. You know, of course, we're alluding to the erstwhile senator from the 17th, who was with us until last week. And I don't know if you know this, but I've actually known the former senator from the 17th for more than 30 years. He and my brother were classmates as far back as second grade. So knew the former senator from the 17th for a long time. But because of the way things went down, he wasn't in here on Thursday when we voted to confirm him, you might have noticed. Mm-hmm. And so I really didn't get the chance, you know, into the microphone to suggest to the senator from the 17th what my advice to him would be as he left this body. And so what I was going to say was, he served in this building, 13 years? 8 in the House, 5 in the Senate. Does that sound right?
I think that's correct.
So I was going to say to him, you know, Senator, as you look back on your time serving in the legislature, I would encourage you to let the past die. If you see legislation you don't like, kill it if you have to. That's the only way to become what you were truly meant to be. And obviously, in the case of the senator from the 17th, he was truly meant to be a commissioner of the Missouri Public Service Commission. And I just I did want to take this opportunity to wish him the best in his new endeavor. Wanted to wish the senator from the 7th the best in the senator from the 17th's new endeavor. And express that I think we all look forward to the senator from the 7th joining us, wherever he will be coming to us from at some point tonight, hopefully maybe.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that House Concurrent Resolution number 51 be taken up for adoption.
You have heard the motion of the senator from Cole. Those of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye. All those opposed, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Does the senator care to move for the adoption and explain the resolution?
Do move for the adoption of House Concurrent Resolution 51, and this would convene a joint session for the State of the Judiciary Address.
The Senator from Cole moves that that House Concurrent Resolution number 51 be adopted. Does any senator desire to be heard? Does any senator desire to be heard? Seeing none, Senator from Cole, you recognize close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
You've heard the motion of the senator from Cole. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Serpoy, Crawford, Cunningham, Curls, Dixon, Igel, Emery, Hageman, Holzman, Hoskins, Hummel, Kehoe, Koenig, Leibler, Munslinger, Nasheed, Onder, Richard, Riddle, Rizzo, Romine, Rowden, Sater, Schaff, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson, Whelan.
Senator from the 5th. You are not properly recorded. Senator from the 5th votes aye. Senator from St. Francis. You're not recorded. Senator from St. Francis votes aye. Senator from Butler?
Aye.
Senator from Butler votes aye.
Mm-hmm.
By your vote of 31 aye and 0 no, the resolution is declared passed. Senator from Cole.
Mr. President, please continue down the calendar.
Concurrent resolutions. Introduction of bills. Senator from Cole.
Mr. President, I have 5 bills to send forward. You will need help. They're so heavy. No explanation is needed on any of them. They're all consent bills, Mr. President.
Madam Secretary, please read the consent bills.
Senate Bill number 865, introduced by Senator Kehoe, an act relating to commercial zones. Senate Bill number 866, introduced by Senator Kehoe, an act relating to fence maintenance along the historic Missouri Rock Island Railroad Corridor. Senate Bill number 867, introduced by Senator Kehoe, an act relating to the dollar value modifier used in certain school districts. Senate Bill number 868, introduced by Senator Kehoe, an act relating to land subject to rail banking. I have one more.
Read the next bill, Madam Secretary.
Senate Bill number 869, introduced by Senator Kehoe, an act relating to employment security.
Introduction of bills. Senator from Andrew.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a bill to offer.
Please send your bill forward.
And it requires no explanation.
Madam Secretary, please read the bill. Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill number 870, introduced by Senator Hageman, an act relating to emergency medical services.
Introduction of bills. Senator from St. Francis.
I have a bill.
Please send your bill forward.
No explanation necessary.
Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill number 871, introduced by Senator Romine, an act relating to court reporters.
Introduction of bills. Senator from Franklin.
Thank you, Mr. President. I was beginning to wonder. I have a bill.
Send your bill forward.
No explanation is necessary.
That's good. Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill number 872, introduced by Senator Schatz, an act relating to motor vehicle franchises.
Introduction of bills. Senator from the 24th. Please send your bill forward.
Thank you. No explanation necessary.
Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill number 873, introduced by Senator Shoup, an act relating to a course on career readiness for ninth grade students.
Introduction of bill, Senator from Barton.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a bill. No explanation. No explanation necessary.
Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill number 874, introduced by Senator Emery, an act relating to grand juries.
Introduction of bills. Senator from the 5th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a bill.
Please send your bill forward. Would you care to explain your bill?
I do, Mr. President. Thank you very much.
She reads it. Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
I would like to explain.
I'll do it after.
Senate Bill number 875, introduced by Senator Nasheed, an act relating to a reporting requirement for lost or stolen firearms.
Senator from the 5th.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I don't know if you all have been following what has occurred in the St. Louis area in the 2017 We had a very, very bloody 2017 to the tune of approximately 250 deaths by way of gun violence. That is an epidemic in the city of St. Louis. There was a study that just came out also from some traveler's guide that basically stated that this is the seventh city that you shouldn't want to visit. Now, you all know that the city of St. Louis is the economic engine for the state of Missouri. And the last thing we need is that type of negative publicity where about individuals are being told not to come to the St. Louis area. So this bill basically would deal with too many guns being on our streets. We don't have a process for lost and stolen firearms. If a gun is stolen or if a gun is lost, there's no way to know if that gun is lost or stolen if we pull a young man or a young woman over during a traffic stop. So this bill is really to begin to deal with too many guns on the streets of St. Louis and to try to reduce crime in the St. Louis area, especially murders. Again, we had approximately 205 murders in the St. Louis area. And I would just really like to appeal to many of my colleagues here by saying to you all, I really, really need your help. If you can look at the bill and think of ways we can make this a reality in terms of being able to get this bill across the finish line, both in the House as well in the governor's mansion and the Senate, I would greatly appreciate it. Again, we have a very serious problem in the St. Louis area, and I really need each and every one of you to roll up your sleeves and help us try to rid the city of St. Louis from the amount of murders that occurred in 2017. With that, thank you very much.
Introduction of bill, Senator from Barry.
Mr. President, I have one bill.
Please send your one bill forward. Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill number 876, introduced by Senator Sater, an act relating to nonpartisan elections.
Introduction of bills. Senator from the second.
I have a bill.
Please send your bill forward.
No explanation necessary.
Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill number 877, introduced by Senator Onder, an act relating to the publication of electronic notice of the sale of real property.
Introduction of bills. Senator from Jefferson.
I have three bills.
Send your three bills forward.
No explanation is needed at this time.
Madam Secretary, please read the first bill.
Senate Bill number 878, introduced by Senator Whelan, an act relating to public contracts for purchasing supplies.
Madam Secretary, please read the second bill.
Senate Bill number 879, introduced by Senator Whelan, an act relating to a qualifying life event for a special enrollment period.
Madam Secretary, please read the third bill.
Senate Bill number 880, introduced by Senator Whelan, an act relating to adjustments to tax rate levies of political subdivisions.
Introduction of bills. Senator from the 23rd.
I have a bill.
Please send your bill forward.
At this time, Mr. President.
Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill number 881, introduced by Senator Igel, an act relating to special license plates.
Introduction of bills. Senator from Johnson.
I have a bill. No explanation is necessary.
Please send your bill forward. Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill number 882, introduced by Senator Hoskins, an act relating to the Missouri Higher Education Savings Program.
Introduction of bills. Senator from the second.
Seeking unanimous consent to introduce three very special guests.
Seeing no objection, Senator from the second, you may proceed.
Mr. President, on your left and my right are three very special guests, my wife of 22 years, Allison, and my two oldest children, Bobby and Elizabeth. Bobby and Elizabeth last night were recalling fondly being pages of the day without compensation when I was in the House about a decade ago. And they're here tonight to help me with my birthday event. And I would ask this body make them feel welcome.
Will the Missouri Senate make the Honor family feel welcome? Introduction of bills. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of second reading of Senate bills.
Seeing no objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of second reading of Senate bills.
Mr. President, before I start, I want to send up a list of the escort committee for the State of the State and State Judiciary. Ask them to be read.
Madam Secretary, will you please read the escort committee?
Pursuant to House Concurrent Resolution 51, I hereby appoint the following senators to the escort committee: Senator Bob Dixon, Senator Bob Onder, Senator Ed Emery, Senator Andrew Koenig, Senator Scott Sifton, Senator Jeannie Riddle, Senator Paul Whelan, Senator Dan Hageman, Senator Jason Holzman, Senator Jamila Nasheed. Also, pursuant to House Concurrent Resolution 50, I hereby appoint the following senators to the Escort Committee: Senator Sandy Crawford, Senator Jacob Hummel, Senator John Rizzo, Senator Bill Igel, Senator Caleb Rowden, Senator Andrew Koenig, Senator Denny Hoskins, Senator Gina Walsh, Senator Bob Onder, Senator Dave Schatz. Sincerely, Ron Richard, President Pro Tem.
Senator from Newton.
Back on the second reading list, Senate Bill 545.
Senate Bill 545, an act relating to historic buildings with an emergency clause.
Economic Development, Senate Bill 546.
Senate Bill 546, an act relating to civil procedure in tort claims.
Government Reform, Senate Bill 547.
Senate Bill 547, an act relating to industrial hemp.
Agriculture, Food Production, Outdoor Resources, Senate Bill 548.
Senate Bill 548, an act relating to agriculture land values.
Ways and Means, Senate Bill 549.
Senate Bill 549, an act relating to job training.
Economic Development, Senate Bill 550.
Senate Bill 550, an act relating to financial incentives for job creation.
Economic Development, Senate Bill 551.
Senate Bill 551, an act relating to financial incentives for job creation.
Economic Development, Senate Bill 552.
Senate Bill 552, an act relating to official misconduct.
Judiciary and Civil and Criminal Jurisprudence, Senate Bill 553.
Senate Bill 553, an act relating to municipal courts.
Judiciary and Civil and Criminal Jurisprudence, Senate Bill 554.
Senate Bill 554, an act relating to property regulations in certain cities and counties.
Local Government and Elections, Senate Bill 555.
Senate Bill 555, an act relating to the duties of the State Board of Education.
General Laws, Senate Bill 556.
Senate Bill 856. Senate Bill 556, an act relating to the operation of motorcycles and motor tricycles with penalty provisions.
Transportation, Infrastructure, Public Safety, Senate Bill 557.
Senate Bill 557, an act relating to a tax credit for charitable contributions to certain organizations.
Economic Development, Senate Bill 558.
Senate Bill 558. An act relating to contaminated homes.
Appropriations, Senate Bill 559.
Senate Bill 559, an act relating to elementary and secondary education.
Education, Senate Bill 560.
Senate Bill 560, an act relating to racial bias in policing.
Transportation, Infrastructure, Public Safety, Senate Bill 561.
Senate Bill 561. An act relating to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program.
Seniors, Family, and Children, Senate Bill 562.
Senate Bill 562, an act relating to the Medical Global Waiver.
Seniors, Families, and Children, Senate Bill 563.
Senate Bill 563, an act relating to the Missouri RX Plan.
Seniors, Family, and Children, Senate Bill 564.
Senate Bill 564, an act relating to public utilities.
Commerce, Consumer Protection, Energy, and Environment, Senate Bill 565.
Senate Bill 565, an act relating to educational scholarships.
Education, Senate Bill 566.
Senate Bill 566, an act relating to impeachment trials.
Judiciary, Civil, and Criminal Jurisprudence, Senate Bill 567.
Senate Bill 567, an act relating to funds for certain vulnerable populations.
Seniors, Families, and Children, Senate Bill 568.
Senate Bill 568, an act relating to the salaries of elected county officers.
Local Government Elections, Senate Bill 569.
Senate Bill 569, an act relating to immunity for trustees.
Insurance and Banking, Senate Bill 570.
Senate Bill 570, an act relating to workers' compensation for firefighters.
Small Business and Industry, Senate Bill 571.
Senate Bill 571, an act relating to high school graduation requirements.
Education, Senate Bill 572.
Senate Bill 572, an act relating to public utilities.
Commerce, Consumer Protection, Energy, and Environment, Senate Bill 573.
Senate Bill 573, an act relating to income tax deductions for military personnel.
Veterans and Military Affairs, Senate Bill 574.
Senate Bill 574, an act relating to sexual assault reporting in long-term care facilities.
Seniors, Family, and Children, Senate Bill 575.
Senate Bill 575. An act relating to the accreditation of managed care plans.
Health and Pensions, Senate Bill 576.
Senate Bill 576, an act relating to course access in education.
Education, Senate Bill 577.
Senate Bill 577, an act relating to higher education.
Education, Senate Bill 578.
Senate Bill 578, an act relating to arbitration agreements between employers and at-will employees.
Small Business and Industry, Senate Bill 579.
Senate Bill 579, an act relating to certain crimes against emergency service providers with penalty provisions.
Transportation, Infrastructure, Public Safety, Senate Bill 580.
Senate Bill 580, an act relating to publication of legal notices.
Local Government Elections, Senate Bill 581.
Senate Bill 581, an act relating to security deposits held by landlords.
Small Business and Industry, Senate Bill 582.
Senate Bill 582, an act relating to personal information data of students.
Education, Senate Bill 583.
Senate Bill 583, an act relating to boarding of prisoners.
Transportation, Infrastructure, Public Safety, Senate Bill 584.
Senate Bill 584, an act relating to the display of Civil War property.
General Laws, Senate Bill 585.
Senate Bill 585, an act relating to unlawful discriminatory practices.
Small Business and Industry, Senate Bill 586.
Senate Bill 586, an act relating to the establishment of the Joint Committee on Disaster Preparedness.
Transportation, Infrastructure, Public Safety, Senate Bill 587.
Senate Bill 587, an act relating to elementary and secondary education.
Education, Senate Bill 588.
Senate Bill 588, an act relating to ethics.
Rules, Joint Rules, Resolution, Ethics, Senate Bill 589.
Senate Bill 589, an act relating to penalties for the offense of delivery of controlled substances containing heroin.
Judiciary, Civil and Criminal Jurisprudence, Senate Bill 590.
Senate Bill 590, an act relating to historic buildings.
Local Government Elections, Senate Bill 591.
Senate Bill 591, an act relating to tax credits for low-income housing.
Local Government Elections, Senate Bill 592.
Senate Bill 592, an act relating to elections.
Local Government Elections. Senate Bill 593.
Senate Bill 593, an act relating to financial solvency in insurance companies.
Insurance and Banking, Senate Bill 594.
Senate Bill 594, an act relating to insurance markets for commercial insurance.
Mr. President, please refer Senate Concurrent Resolution 27, Senate Concurrent Resolution 28, Senate Concurrent Resolution 29, Senate Concurrent Resolution 30, Senate Concurrent Resolution 31 to the Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics. And also refer the addendums to the governor appointments.
Senator, can we move back to Senate Bill 594? I was told that you skipped over the committee
insurance,
slot for that.
Insurance and Banking.
Thank you, Senator. And your concurrent resolutions will be so referred. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you inquire of the Secretary if there are messages from the governor? If so, I'd ask the reading be waived and they be printed in the journal.
There are messages from the governor. The reading will be waived and they will be printed in the journal. Senator from Newton.
Now, Mr. President, now refer the addendums to the gubernatorial appointment.
The addendums will be so referred. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I inquire of you?
Sure.
Mr. President, that sure is a nice tie you have on today.
I feel very esteemed to be in such a group of noble and awesome colleagues wearing this
even though
tie.
Even though Drew Damp has one too?
Well, it brought it down just a hair, but it's still noble. We're still noble.
It's a great organization you belong to. Mr. President, without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements.
Senator from Cole's move to the order of business of announcements. announcements? Seeing none, Senator Picole.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business coming for the body. I move the Senate stand adjourned under the rules.
The Senator from Cole moves that the Senate stand adjourned under the rules. All those opinion that a motion shall prevail signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate is adjourned.